How do you pronounce that name right there?
Chaplitsky.
Okay. One more time.
Chaplitsky.
Okay.
That is
there you go.
That is the answer.
Okay.
Thank you, Ramona.
Well, it's official. Well,
thank you, dear.
I'll let Evan know he needs to update it to that.
Welcome to ADSP, the podcast, episode 156, recorded on November 13th, 2023. My name is Connor, and today with my co-host Bryce, we interview Richard Feldman, creator of the brand new Rock programming language and host of the Software Unscripted podcast. In today's episode, we chat with him about the last edition of the Strange Loop Conference, virtual versus in-person conferences, and more.
Richard, can I ask, have you been, like, you seem to be in a closet. Is everything okay?
Yes.
Are you
safe? This is my recording studio. Doesn't everybody's look like this?
I used to record from a closet, so, you know.
Yeah. Well, so what happened was I was on a podcast once, and the room I'm normally in has like an air conditioner unit next to it, and it turned on, and someone was like, "What is that horrible loud noise?" And I was like, "Oh, sorry." And they're like, "Well, do you have any place you could go that's like just, you know, small space, nothing?" And this is like the place. And they're like, "Oh, the audio quality is great in here. You should always record from here." So I was like, "Ah, cool." So now I always record from here.
Makes sense.
Bryce doesn't know much about audio quality, so.
No, but I do know that air conditioner bad from the one time that I recorded half of a talk, and not like the first half or the last half, like, you know, some slides with the AC on, some slides with the AC off. And then later realized my mistake and had to go through and re-record all of the AC slides. Yeah.
All right. Well, as per usual, we've dove. I don't know if that's the right tense of that word, but we're gonna stick with it. So I will give a brief introduction. We've mentioned him several times on the podcast before in the context.
We did.
On the context of typically bringing up Rock. Which is okay. Obviously Richard's, for those that are in the know, Richard's programming language. But actually, do you still work for No Red Ink?
Not as of April. So now I work at Vendor, V-E-N-D-R.
Okay, I think I recall that because I recall in a talk you mentioned that you were, I think, switching companies, and part of that was basically you were going to be working, if not full-time on Rock, you were going to be spending a large percentage of your time working on Rock there.
Yes.
So works at Vendor now. There was a yes there that I may or may not have just cut off. But, I mean, before working at Vendor, you worked at No Red Ink, which is probably because of the sort of evangelism that you do, giving talks about functional programming, one of the most well-known Elm shops. And you have a podcast now that's been going on for, I think, 60 or 70 episodes, Software Unscripted. And you've given, as I just mentioned, a bunch of very highly regarded and highly viewed talks. My personal favorite, I think, because we were chatting about this a week ago, my favorite is Why Functional Programming Isn't the Norm, and it's got about like 1.5 million views on YouTube. So link will be in the show notes if you want to go and check that out. Yeah, I mean, lots of stuff we can talk about today. I think we're going to spend a little bit of time chatting about the last edition of Strange Loop, because I happen to know that you were at that installation, and I think you've been at a number of those installations.
Yeah, almost all of them.
Almost all of them.
Yeah.
Well, let's just, and we'll, and don't worry, listener, we will get to Rock. That's ROC, cutting edge, nascent programming language. We love programming languages on this podcast.
We do.
And we even love more the, you know, the nascent in there, you know, adolescence. I don't know if you would say it's in its adolescence, but Carbon, Hilo. We love all the languages that aren't even languages yet. I think Rock is a lot further. But before we get to Rock, if you want to add anything to that off-the-cuff introduction, and then maybe we can chat a bit about all the times you've been to Strange Loop and how the last one was, I'll throw it over to you, and we can go from there.
Yeah, well, thanks. That was a lovely introduction. Yeah, we can talk about Strange Loop. So I used to live in St. Louis when the first Strange Loop happened. So I've been to almost all of them. I think I went to 10 of them. Out of the 12 that there were, I missed two. Like, the first one I missed because I just moved out of St. Louis and it seemed silly to fly back after I just left. And the second one, my son was going to be born like right around there. So that was not going to work.
Wife wouldn't let you go.
That wasn't even a conversation. I wasn't like, hey, do you think it'd be all right? Like, no, it's just like, that's not, I mean, cause it was like, you know, the due date was around then. So, yeah. You know, it might've worked out, but might've extremely not worked out. So I didn't feel like rolling the dice on that one.
Having a conversation with Rich Hickey. Ooh, my wife just,
Hang on. I gotta go. Cause I am a dad now.
Understandable.
Yeah. Yeah, Strange Loop's really great. I'm going to miss it. I don't know. What do you want to chat about, Strange Loop-wise?
I mean, so I was thinking about going to the last one. It was just at the tail. So it is, you know, middle of November right now. This took place, I think it was the second last week or maybe the last week of September. So just like roughly 2 months ago. And I think it was because I had a wedding at the beginning of the month and I was going to be on the other side of the world for a couple weeks that I decided not to go. But I've just seen so many good talks over the years. I mean, I think back in the day, Strange Loop used to have a track called the Emerging Programming Languages track, which
yep.
I don't think they had, you know, the last couple of years, but like you can go and find some talks of like languages that are actually kind of, you know, I wouldn't say mainstream, but like pretty popular and have like big user bases that back then were a lot smaller. So anyways, I'm just curious, like how was, you know, this last version? I've seen a bunch of the talks. We'll link some of my favorites. I mean, Evan, I can never pronounce his last name.
It's so he pronounces it Chaplicky. I have a funny story about that though. So the first time I met Evan, so Evan created Elm. And so I was living in San Francisco. So was he. I had just started trying out this language based on a blog post and I really, really liked it. And I found out that he also lived in San Francisco and I was like, oh, let me just like DM him on Twitter and just see if be like, hey, you know, I'd like love to just like grab lunch with you and I really like your language. So I met him in person. I asked him that same question. I was like, so how are you supposed to pronounce your last name? And he's like, I'm not sure. Like, what? Of all the answers I could have gotten, I was not expecting that one. And so he said, well, apparently, like, if you're Polish, which is where the name comes from, they would say, like, Ciplicki. Oh. And he just recently discovered this. And he's like, but I always grew up, my parents always said Ciplicki. So I'm not sure, like, what's correct? Like, what's more correct? But after some, you know, he's like, I'm just going to stick with
it. How is this name spelled?
C-Z-A-P-L-I-C.
C-Z-A-P.
L-I-C.
P?
Yeah.
I-C. C-Z-A-P-I-C.
Okay, and there's another second. I at the end there.
Oh, so here's what Bryce is doing. His girlfriend is Polish.
Okay. It's C-Z-A-P-I-C-I.
Let me put it in the chat. Just so, okay.
Put it in the chat.
This is a first. This is a first. I'm not sure if Ramona has actually, her voice has ever been on the podcast. A lot of the times Bryce will refer to Ramona, but I think Evan Chaplicki is. So that's from what Evan has said. But now we're gonna get.
Yeah,
sweetie, we need your skills. How do you pronounce that name right there?
Chaplicki.
Okay, one more time.
Chaplicki.
Okay.
That is
there you go.
That is the answer.
Okay.
Thank you, Ramona.
Well, it's official. Well,
thank you, dear.
I'll let Evan know he needs to update it to that.
Well, I mean, you did say that he discovered that the Polish pronunciation, it sounds very similar to what that was right there. So,
yeah.
And I mean, technically I think that's very common though, is that the Anglo, you know, pronunciation of a lot of last names is not, you know, accurate to whatever, totally. You know, it actually, like, I think technically my last name, we pronounce it Hoekstra, but in Dutch, it's much different. I'm not even going to attempt to try and say it, but, so, whenever someone said, like, I think my principal, he called me Hoekstra and I was like, well, I know that's wrong, but like, I'm also probably saying it wrong. So it's like, it's not a big deal.
Right. I think it's a very American thing to insist that other people mispronounce things the way we mispronounce them. It's like, this is not the official pronunciation, but you know what? Now you need to pronounce it our way.
Yes, that is a very, very a Western kind of thing. Anyways, lots of great talks. One was given by Evan, and I don't think he had given one in a while. So, I mean, I saw some comments on it that said, oh, you know, finally Evan has come out of the woodworks, and another great talk from him because he's given a lot of good ones in the past. So anyways, just like overall thoughts, how was the last one? Any, you know, of your talks that you, or talks that you saw that you thought were great, or, you know, and just sort of, You know, because I listened to a ton of podcasts, and I don't think any of them really did like a Strange Loop recap. So we don't need to do like a full-blown recap, but I was expecting some of the functional podcasts to like mention that, oh, it was the last one, and here's some good talks you should go watch. So that's my attempt here to get, you know, a review from someone was there.
Well, so, I mean, functional-wise, I mean, the two main presenters, at least that I remember offhand, that gave talks who were sort of in the functional community would be Evan, of course, and then also David Nolan, who's been like the lead for ClojureScript for a long time. But his talk, like, neither of their talks were about functional programming. I mean, Evan's was about the like funding models for open source programming languages, and David's was about Go. So like, not the language. The game, the board Go. there may have been some others that I'm not remembering, but I guess the reason that those stuck out at me is kind of my plan, because it was the last Strange Loop, was I mainly just wanted to see a lot of people that I know I'm not going to get to see in person, you know, for maybe a long time, because we won't have Strange Loop every year, which is like normally when I would catch up with them. So I hallway tracked very hard at that conference. And that wasn't hard to do because, I mean, basically, actually, even before I got to the venue, like when I was in the hotel lobby about to walk over, I just started recognizing people and like say, oh, hey, and just like talking to people and catching up. And then like we walked over and they ran into more people and started catching up with them. And it was pretty much nonstop, like talking to people and catching up and, you know, seeing what people are up to for most of the first day. and then I guess I went to a couple of talks. But I mean, for me, that was the sort of the main experience of the conference. So I guess if you're looking for, there was a really cool art installation also by a friend of mine, or he made it with one other person, Charles Comstock. Shout out to Charles. He made, it's like the Strange Loop Infinity logo, and he basically set it up so that it had all of these LEDs inside that you could programmatically control. They had like a little laptop and also a little MIDI keyboard, so you could like play things and see in real time the LEDs change and try putting in little algorithms and make it animate so that you could make like color patterns or try to get like some design to go around the loops. It's really cool. But overall, I mean, I hate to disappoint, but you know, if I was going to talk about a talk that really blew my mind, it was, I mean, Evan's talk was my favorite one, but I didn't watch very many of the talks because I was so busy talking to people.
I mean, that checks out. There's many conferences that I've been to where there's, you know, I have a talk schedule and then you find yourself talking to insert person that you do not live in the same city with, right, and you are not going to have the opportunity to continue whatever conversation that you're having. And so, I mean, half the times you end up just being like, do you want to go grab a bite to eat somewhere? And then your, you know, 15 minute hallway conversation turns into a 3 hour, you know, lunch or dinner, which then extends into like other people joining you. Right. I mean, Bryce and I were at a conference in the UK in June, and that's what happened like half the time. Yep. Where like literally I was just like, well, and that's the thing is, you know, the talks are going to be online, right? So if you are worried of missing something, like it's not actually going to be the talk, it's going to be
go for the people, not the talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's definitely certain reasons that I'll go to a talk. Like one is if I'm friends with the speaker, I'll always go just to sort of, you know, show support. But also if I want to ask the speaker a question, I'll go, like if I maybe anticipate that I might want to ask a question based on, you know, the content of the talk, then I'll go, because of course you can't do that online. It's like too late. But like that is if you're watching it later. And then maybe if I'm thinking that this is going to be a talk that a lot of people are going to be talking about at the conference, then I want to go just kind of to have the context. So, you know, there's an element of watching a talk that's kind of reminds me of watching a movie in a movie theater with a group of friends, which is that partly it's to go and get the experience of seeing it in person, you know, in the theater, which is kind of different than watching it at home. And I would say it's even more true of seeing like a, you know, concert in person or seeing a talk in person. But even beyond that, it's like you walk out of the theater together and you're all talking about what you just saw together at the same time. And there's some elements of that too, for that's like another reason that I would potentially watch a talk. Yeah, but other than that, like I'm definitely of the same mind. Like the thing that's irreplaceable is the person-to-person, face-to-face contact. And I think that's kind of why, for me, I've tried to do some online conferences, but I just really have not gotten into them. Like in person is really kind of the main selling point to me of a conference, is that seeing people in person and talking to them, and the conversations that happen seem to be just on a totally different level in terms of quality.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Bryce and I have like conflicted feelings, because I watched Alex Miller's talk, who, for those that are not once again in the know, Alex is the individual that has been organizing Strange Loop since the beginning, and it's his basically baby. And he gave a talk on kind of the reasons on why he was ending it, and one, like, there was many, but one of them was like the carbon footprint of, like, there's obviously a huge cost on the environment when you're getting a bunch of people that live around the globe to fly in somewhere. And I also, like, you know, whenever I can, like, if I have the ability to not fly somewhere, I will not fly. But a lot of times, if you're going to, you know, the UK, or you're going somewhere, you're not, you know, the flying is the only option. And I wish that virtual conferences, you know, even if they had like 50% of that, like the, like you said, like the level of conversation that you have, it's just on an entirely, and it's, I don't even think it's just the conversation. It is the chance encounters and like the ability to walk up to, like, you know, the Pac-Man circles and join conversations, or, and the, you know, if whether you, it's out having dinner or there's some social afterwards, whether, you know, there's drinks involved. Like, I was at a conference back in October at this like conference retreat center at Syracuse University in the middle of nowhere in the Adirondacks. And you had to drive like, you know, 3 hours from the closest city to get there. Wow. And it was just like unbelievable. The, like, because you're basically, it's a single track conference over 2 or 3 days, and everyone's together eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner because the whole thing's catered, because you're in the middle of nowhere. And just like the conversation that you end up happening, it's just like, I have not gotten anywhere close in like a virtual conference or in like a Zoom Teams meeting. And it's like this or juxtaposition or dichotomy of, like, on one hand, I wish we could, you know, harm the environment less by flying around. But on, at the same time, like, I've never been to a virtual conference where like those kinds of chance encounters and experiences have even come close to like being replicated. And I don't have a solution. I don't know what to do. I just, I completely agree with you that like those kinds of conversations that, like, and it's not even just like a 15-minute thing. It's like, it happens over the conference. You'll start chatting about something on Monday, and then on Wednesday you'll have some idea, and then you'll circle back to it. And anyways, I'm not sure if you have grand thoughts or solutions, if there's going to be a rock conference in the future. I mean, oh, you got to think about what you're going to call that. It sounds like you're talking about Rock and Hall Hall of Fame, or Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I mean, I certainly hope that there will be a rock conference in the future, but I don't think I would be the one to organize it. That seems like, A, something that's, it's better if it's community organized anyway. But B, I don't think I would do well as a conference organizer. I'll give a talk.
It's a thankless profession.
And really hard. And yeah, that has a, requires a skill set that I don't think overlaps with my skill set a whole lot.
Yeah,
I mean, I would say I'm torn on the in person versus remote, because there have been certain groups that I've worked with who were very resistant to remote work during the pandemic. The C++ committee, of course, being one of them, but there are a few others, boy, would I love to just be able to declare like, that's nonsense. Like, we can do the same work virtually that we can do in person. But I think that's probably not true. Or at the very least, you can do the work part remotely, but you can't do the social and political part of the job remotely. And a reality that I think very few people recognize and accept in tech is that every job, every career, every profession, there are interpersonal interactions matter, community matters, and there's going to be politics, and that's going to matter too. And so because of all those aspects, the obvious social benefit of being face to face with people, I think, is important. But I mean, I think in today's age, that means really that if we're meeting face to face, probably one of the primary reasons to meet face to face is to build those connections, to socialize, for people to get to know each other, to collaborate, not necessarily to actually do work. There are certain types of work that I think work better in a synchronous face-to-face environment, but there's other things that just are naturally a better fit for something asynchronous. Like if you just need one person's like opinion or review of something, send them an email and let them reply to that email.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm lost. Sounds like you're half advocating for committee meetings. And I thought we were both like, they just had the committee meeting in Hawaii. Seems necessary.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm the bad guy who actually protested us having a meeting in Hawaii.
I mean, you're the bad guy for the folks that want to keep going to Hawaii, but you're the good guy if you think it should be unnecessary to convene in Hawaii in order to evolve a language and library.
If I can find it.
I'm guessing Hawaii wasn't the midpoint of everyone's location.
No.
Yeah, and it's just like, while you're looking for that, Bryce, it seems comical that like, all the other languages, you know, Rock, Swift, Rust, etc., they're doing GitHub asynchronous, you know, they seem to be doing just fine. And C++ is struggling, I'd say. And then they go to Hawaii. And then out of Hawaii, there's all these reports. Wow, we're making progress on reflection. We're making progress on contracts. And it's like, oh, that's what was missing. A Hawaii meeting. People need to be motivated. And it's just like, of all the places, Hawaii, like that's inconvenient for like Americans to get to, let alone like people around the world. Like, and it just, I don't want to say that there's, you know, whatever, some evil conspiracy or whatever, but it just seems like of all the places that you could convene to do committee work, even if you're trying to rotate it from like Europe to America, etc., like Hawaii doesn't make the short list of places that's like good for the environment, easy for people to get to, you know, time zone makes sense for people that want to tune in virtually for some sort of meeting. But you know, hey, you know, I haven't been to Hawaii. So maybe if I had been there, then I'd feel differently. And I'd be like, you know what? It's that, that summer breeze and perfect weather. I'd never had such clear thoughts and mental acuity in my life.
I will read the email that I sent to the C++ committee. The email reads, NVIDIA believes it is inappropriate to hold professional events like C++ committee meetings in vacation destinations such as Kona, which is why we voted no on the Insights C++ motion to host the 2023 November meeting in Kona. We have the following specific objections to Kona. Number one, meeting in vacation destinations makes it harder for attendees to justify travel to their management and convince them that C++ committee meetings are a professional environment where we focus on doing work, not having fun. Number two, it is a remote destination that is difficult and expensive to travel to. Number three, lodging and dining options are expensive and limited in diversity. Number four, it is in an inopportune time zone, UTC-10, that is punishing for remote attendees, as it is a few time zones away from any major population centers. That's my basic objection. I mean, ultimately, what it fundamentally comes down to me is that I don't think that there's certain aspects of a tourist destination that I think make it a bad fit for a professional event, even if it's like socializing, even if the main purpose of the event is to socialize. Like I'm thinking places like Las Vegas, Orlando, or, you know, Hawaii too. One, it's going to be a lot more expensive because there's a ton of other, you know,
I mean, Las Vegas might be cheaper. They got a lot of conference centers.
Las Vegas might be cheaper. and there are a bunch of conferences that are held there, but also it's like, you know, you pick a hotel for you pick a venue space, and in these tourist destinations, those hotels and venue spaces, their primary market is not, you know, people traveling for work. It's people traveling for fun. You know, that Kona committee meeting, for many years we stayed at this one hotel, the Royal Kona Hotel. And, the reason that we switched hotels was that one year, NVIDIA, which at the time chaired, had people who chaired two different subgroups, we basically told the committee, hey, this hotel is so bad that we NVIDIA will pay to have rooms at another hotel, and we're going to hold our study groups there, and the rest of you can stay at this hotel, but we're leaving. Like, we understand you have a contract and you have to stay at the bad hotel, but we're not going to be there. And the committee eventually decided to break their contract with the other hotel. And like, what was wrong with the other hotel? Well, one of the meeting rooms that we were given was literally outside, with such bad noise pollution from everything around that you had to use like a loudspeaker to be able to be heard. And then there was at one point there were two different groups that had to meet next to each other in an outdoor room. And so you would hear everything that the people next to you would be saying. Then there were like some normal hotel problems, like mold in some of the rooms, stuff like that. But then also, every time we would be there, there would be at least one, maybe two weddings. And so you'd have people who spent 10, 12 hours working or socializing and interacting and want to go to bed at a normal hour, and there would be some crazy, you know, wedding party or other thing going on. I would much rather, if we're going to have these sorts of gatherings, I'd much rather have them in places that are more, where their market is more, you know, professional events or professional retreats. You know, if you want to have your conference in, you know, a nice, beautiful destination, there's a ton of good places for that that I think are less objectionable than Hawaii. I would even argue, you know, Connor and I go to a conference in Aspen every year. I would even argue that Aspen's better. It's not.
I haven't been to Aspen. I only went there once back in 2019. I've been back since.
But, you know, even Aspen's a little bit harder to access, but it is near a major airport. It is in a major time zone. It's nice and quiet when we're there. Good professional venues. It's like a good place for a retreat when you want to get away from people. Like, the environment where you're going to hold an event, I think, really does matter a lot.
Yeah.
When you hold your event in Hawaii, that sends a pretty strong signal.
All right. So before we transition to chatting about Rock here, because we're coming in at the 30-minute mark, which is, we usually dice these up into 30-minute episodes. In 60 seconds or less, why is this meeting still happening? Like, you wrote the committee, protested.
I'm sorry. I didn't read you the last sentence of the email that I sent, which is that I basically said, we recognize that it is impractical to move the 2023 November meeting because contracts have already been signed, people have already booked travel, etc. This objection we made like 6 months, a year before the meeting, and then 6 months before the meeting. But we voted no just to express our objection and to discourage future meetings in vacation destinations.
All right. So
basically,
we'll see in 2 years TLDR, if they
stay tuned.
Yeah.
The TLDR of NVIDIA's position is that the C++ committee should be no fun. No fun.
I mean, I think your enumeration of points had nothing to do with fun. It had to do with inconvenience, cost, and appropriate locations for, you know, being able to be productive. And I'm sure if you asked all the people that get to go to Hawaii once every 2 years, they'd say, you know, I'm at my maximum productivity. It's a great place to, you know, relax after a long day's of work. But I'm sure, you know, that's just because people like going, like having company paid trips to Hawaii is probably what it is. Anyways, so if you do end up having, I mean, I don't think Rock is going to go the way of committee meetings, but if you do, Richard, you know, I'd steer clear of Hawaii. Otherwise, ADSB the podcast will come after you just as hard as going after the C++ committee. Speaking of which, this is, I think, technically going to be episode 156 that just wrapped, which is our 3-year anniversary. So, I mean, once a year, we usually ask folks, you know, you don't actually have to go give us a rating. I was just on Spotify the other day and I saw we had a 4.6 out of 5 stars, which off of 86 ratings, which I think is pretty good. You know, we'd love to be 4.7 though. But also, if you don't like us and you listen, feel free to go whatever. You know, I hate podcasts that say, go leave us 5 stars. It's like, well, what if you don't think it's a 5-star podcast, you know? So you leave whatever you think. And if you don't want to rate, that's fine too. So thanks for listening. We will do some 3-year anniversary special, probably with Sean Parent, because he has some thoughts about our last couple episodes. Be sure to check the show notes either in your podcast app or at adspthepodcast.com for links to any of the things that we mentioned in today's episode, as well as a link to a GitHub discussion where you can leave thoughts, comments, and questions. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed and have a great day.
Low quality, high quantity. That is the tagline of our podcast.
It's not the tagline. Our tagline is chaos with sprinkles of information.